The chairman of London 2012, Lord Coe, has said he's seriously looking into complaints about large numbers of empty seats at Olympic Games venues, although he's insisted that the issue should be kept in perspective. Vacant rows can be seen at the gymnastics and basketball for a second day running. Sponsors insist that they are using or have given away all their seats. In today's events, the women's cycle road race is underway, with Nicole Cook hoping to retain the title she won in Beijing 4 years ago. The sailor Ben Ainslie, who's won 3 Olympic golds, is on the water in Weymouth in the first of his heats. And in the pool, Rebecca Adlington is through to the final of the 400 metres freestyle, an event she won in the 2008 Games. More than 30 people are reported to have been killed in the Syrian city of Aleppo as government forces continue to attack rebel-held areas. A United Nations refugee camp has opened at the border town of Zaatari in Jordan for the thousands of Syrians fleeing across the border. A UN representative said that getting enough supplies is a struggle. The Republican candidate for US President Mitt Romney says he would respect Israel's decision if it took military action to stop Iran's nuclear program. He's due to speak in Jerusalem, saying that Tehran is testing Israel and America's moral defences. President Obama has pledged to look at ways to reduce gun violence across the United States following the recent shooting dead of 12 people at a cinema in Colorado. He said it was important to stop weapons getting into the hands of dangerous people. Oxford University has rewritten its dress code on the advice of its lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender society. From next week, students taking exams or attending formal occasions will no longer have to wear ceremonial clothing which is specific to their gender. Men will be able to sit tests in skirts and stockings, and women will have the option of wearing suits and bow ties. And the weather, it'll be a dry and bright start for most of the UK, but there will be a scattering of heavy and thundery showers in the far west, which will spread into other areas by late afternoon. BBC News and weather at 1:02. And time now to continue our weekend of coverage from the 2012 WOMAD Festival at Charlton Park in Wiltshire. Here's Lucy Duran live on the Radio 3 stage.
Hello, and today we're presenting a very special project from Colombia via London. But first, as you can hear, we have a wonderful crowd here at Charlton Park at the Radio 3 stage. Well, 3 years ago, BBC's flagship world music programme, World Roots, launched the World Roots Academy. This is a scheme to promote young, new talent living in the UK by putting them together with a mentor from their country of origin. This year, we're focusing on the lively tradition of accordion music from Colombia, known as Vallenato. It all started back in January with a concert in Broadcasting House, in which none other than Damon Albarn announced our protege, who's a 19-year-old musician whose parents are Colombian, but he was born and raised in London. This extremely talented young man had fallen in love with Vallenato music when he was very young. Since the January event, the World Roots Academy on Radio 3 has done everything from a session in a popular Colombian restaurant in South London to entering our protege into the Festival of Vallenato in Valledupar in northeast Colombia. He actually got into the quarterfinals of the amateur category. And believe me, that's something, because the competition was very fierce. Not bad for a Londoner who learned from YouTube. Well, the Academy culminates this year with a late night prom in a couple of days. That's Tuesday evening at the Albert Hall, in which our protege will be performing together with his mentor from Colombia, the top accordionist, virtuoso Egidio Cuadrado, with his band. So you must join us for that. But now, here at WOMAD on the Radio 3 stage, he's presenting a new collaboration with a group of London-based Colombian musicians who call themselves Papayera. They'll be treating us to traditional music from Colombia's tropical coast. And we need that today because it's slightly rainy, but we're fine, aren't we? So here we are with this nine-piece band led by Rafael Sarmiento with singer Angélica López and on the accordion our very own World Roots Academy protégé, José Hernando Noguera.
Hey! introduction, the next song is a composition from Jose. He's gonna play for all of us. Come on!
This composition was made between Maestro Egidio Cuadrado, my mentor, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Okay, now I would like to invite one of the guys from the percussion section to sing the next song with me. We're going from the coast to the south, more or less, of Colombia.
Todo es gloria cuando se canta el joropo, cuando se canta el joropo. Si es que se va a bailar, el mundo parece poco. Sigamos bailando, sigamos cantando. Si vamos bailando, caramba, que me vuelvo loco. Todo es gloria cuando se canta el joropo, cuando se canta el joropo. Si se va a bailar, el mundo parece poco. Sigamos bailando, sigamos cantando. Sigamos cantando, caramba, que me vuelvo loco. Sirva sin descanso hasta que pierda la cuenta y vamos a bailar al son de este coropo. La vida hay que gozar. Guayabo que resista este coropo caliente, por eso está con celo mi compadre el aguardiente. Felices vienen y van sin pensar en el dinero, tocando un tipo de guitarra pa' cantar el San Juanero. Guayabo que resista este coropo caliente, por eso está con celo mi compadre el aguardiente. Felices vienen y van sin pensar en el dinero, tocando un tipo de guitarra pa' cantar el San Juanero.
Music from Colombia's coast, live here on the Radio 3 stage at WOMAD, featuring José Hernando Noguera, the young accordionist originally from Colombia, born and raised in London. And he's our 2012 World Roots Academy protégé. And that was a new collaboration, especially for WOMAD, with a nine-piece band called Papayera, led by Rafael Sarmiento on percussion and Angélica López on vocals. And don't forget that José Hernando will be in a late-night prom this Tuesday at the Albert Hall, together with his mentor, Egidio Cuadrado, the virtuoso accordionist who's coming over specially from Colombia with his band just for this one gig of vallenato music from Northeast Colombia. And then later on in the programme, we'll be hearing highlights from a stunning concert held yesterday on the Radio 3 stage, featuring a duet on Vali, the zither from Madagascar, with some of that hypnotic music, featuring Madagascar's leading Vali player, Justin Vali, together with Irish musician Paddy Bush, who, since playing with his sister, Kate, back in the 1980s, has dedicated his entire life to the music of Madagascar. And he's a fabulous storyteller, as you'll see when he comes in to join me later on. Well, now I'm going to take you back in time, because this year WOMAD celebrates its 30th anniversary. It all started back in 1982, not that far from here. And one person who has been involved in the world music scene, well, way before the first world of music arts and dance, WOMAD, and certainly before the world music term was invented, was a certain gentleman by the name of Ricky Steen, who's now joined me.
Hello, Lucy.
Here in the studio.
Great to be with you.
Lovely to have you here, Ricky. So, I mean, you and I were both at that very first WOMAD in 1982.
We were indeed.
What are your memories of it?
Well, you know, I mean, we all dream, don't we? And the world is shrinking at an incredible rate of knots, so it's kind of appropriate that people start to familiarize themselves with things that are happening elsewhere. And I think that's what all this is about. Carting all this stuff around is a bit of a challenge. You know, we've been banging our head against a glass ceiling trying to make it all work. And slowly but surely, we're getting somewhere, you know?
Well, you say, I mean, you, of all people, Ricky, you had the most kind of mega ideas. I mean, I remember you bringing an entire village, the village of Jajuka, which in the
right.
1970s was like the sound from Morocco, wasn't it?
Because it was and is.
And yeah, it was, you know, the Rolling Stones went mm-hmm. there, and you brought the entire village here and you toured them with
yes,
them.
Yes, I did.
They slept in
a bus that was always breaking down.
But no, I mean, I think probably most significantly, you were the manager of Fela Kuti, the great Nigerian.
It was my
Afro
privilege, yes.
Superstar. So, and well, tell us, well, first of all, just another memory of WOMAD back in 1982, because you were friends, you've been friends with Peter Gabriel for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
Well, it was interesting, you know, because nothing like that had happened before. It was a challenge. It was one that was difficult from a financial perspective, because the audience was not as extensive as one might have hoped, and certainly that situation has changed now with WOMADs all over the planet, so they've turned it into a successful operation, but at that time it was difficult. And fortunately for Peter,
and because of course Peter was the he founded WOMAD.
It was Peter's.
Didn't he? And
it was Peter's
he has the label
initiative.
Founded
yes.
Real World label.
Yes, it was Peter's initiative. And but you know, I mean, his pockets may be deep, but not that deep. And fortunately, Genesis came along and did a benefit concert at Milton Keynes Bowl that saved the day. So it put everything back on an even keel again.
And from, thanks to that, we're still here.
Yes, exactly.
Years on.
From which everything developed, and they started to do WOMADs in different parts of the world. And I've been fortunate to have witnessed a few of those. I saw one a couple of years ago in Abu Dhabi that was very interesting with Femi, and I was there with Rashid Taha from Algeria.
I remember at that very first WOMAD, I remember the wonderful high life artist Prince Nico Mbarga.
I think
he was from Cameroon, Nigeria.
Yes.
Do you remember he wore big platform shoes?
I remember because he was quite
fall
small.
Over.
I remember the thing that really impressed me. Do you remember the master musicians, the master drummers of Burundi?
I do.
Wow,
indeed.
Man, those people
yes.
were something else. They
yes.
were so extraordinary.
Yes. It was really ahead of its time, wasn't it?
It was ahead of its time, but you know, we're catching up. And I'm glad that Peter and his crew have persisted. And I think they've done an amazing job in bringing to people's attention amazing things that are happening around the planet.
Yeah, lots of music now that was just totally unknown
yes,
outside
quite,
the countries
quite.
Of origin.
And as a consequence, you know, when I bring people on tour, you know, these large ensembles, like I manage the National Dance Company of Guinea, Le Ballet Africain, which is 42 people on the road,
Yeah, you were saying you took them to Colombia.
I did take them to Colombia, yes.
Amazing.
I took them all over the place, went to Australia.
But just tell us a little bit about Fela Kuti, because Fela, he's got to be one of the biggest, sort of
well,
most
I was
iconic
blessed with
artists.
Fela, you know. I met Fela, and I can't explain it, but we met and became friends. And my working relationship grew out of that friendship. People say you shouldn't work with friends. I only want to work with friends, because you can say more or less anything to your friend, can't you, you know? And anyway,
that means you probably said a few things.
Well, Fela used to call me Mr. Reason, you know, when he'd come out with some of his outlandish stuff. I'd say, yeah, but Fela, but he'd say, uh-uh, Mr. Reason is coming with his own. but it was an extraordinary experience. 70 people on the road. And
Ricky, how do you do it?
Well, you know, I guess it's the protein.
For punishment.
It's the no, I'm not a masochist, believe me. It's the protein that you get at the end of the day. You know, all the nonsense you have to go through to make this work is justified by the magic that happens when you see, you know, 5,000 people go, yes! And that, you know, that's the feedback. That's where I get my nourishment.
And you took him twice. You brought Fela Kuti twice to Glastonbury.
Yes, I did.
I saw them once there.
He closed the festival twice on the Sunday night.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, it was such a sort of high-octane show. But his son, Femi Kuti, who was here last night.
Femi was here last night. And, you know, I've known Femi since he was 18 years old. He's now 50. He just celebrated his 50th birthday.
Incredible.
And I'm still very close with the family.
How do you find, how different is he from his
dad? Well, I've got to tell you that, he's his own man. You know, he left Fela. Fela was quite annoyed with him, actually, at the beginning. Because he wanted to strike out on his own and do his own thing, which is obviously influenced by his father's work. But nevertheless, it's his own, all his own compositions, and it's all his own, you know. But what he did, I saw him a couple of weeks ago at the Black to Black Festival at Billingsgate, and it was the end of a long tour, and he was tired, and it left me wanting, I have to tell the truth.
But what
last
about last night?
He totally vindicated himself. The show was on fire. It was marvelous. Are you going to broadcast that?
Oh, yes, we broadcast already last night.
Lucky
live
listeners,
from the stage,
man.
But we're going to play something also that we didn't broadcast last night. We're going to play a track that he did called Shot 'Em. Do you want to just tell us?
Well, that track really was the one that grabbed my attention more than anything else. It's like, it's a real rock and roll, you know? But it's so lively and so full of passion and so energized.
Well, here it is, Femi Kuti with Shot 'Em, last night on the Open Air stage. We'll be right back.
don't tell you many times before. Say now you go come to regret. Say the government of Obasanjo go carry your lovers go for hell. You carry your pompous self about. You say you no want to hear. Now everything come to scatter for your face. Senor Lugu, shota ho. Shota, 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 shota. Shota yo, Obasanjo. Shota.
Shotten by Femi Kuti, playing last night on the open air stage here at WOMAD. I was on the side of the stage and I can tell you that it looked as amazing as it sounds. And thanks to Ricky Steen for joining me here in the studio for a bit of nostalgia about the good old days of world music, going back to the very beginning of this festival, 1982 that was. You're listening to me, Lucy Duran, live on Radio 3 from WOMAD. Well, yesterday on the Radio 3 stage at 3:30 in the afternoon, we were treated to a very special one-off concert of zither music from Madagascar. The audience was absolutely mesmerised, and I don't blame them because it is one of the world's most fabulous instruments. There were various kinds of zither on stage, ranging from an ancient and almost extinct bamboo tube whose strings are cut out of the bamboo itself, to a big suitcase-shaped zither made from corrugated iron with bicycle brake cable for strings, which sounds like the wind rustling through the trees. They were played by two extraordinary musicians who are lifelong friends from Ireland, a musician who's dedicated his life to Malagasy music, Paddy Bush, a wonderful storyteller, as you'll hear when he comes into the studio later on with a colourful story of this music, and from Madagascar itself, from the Central Plateau, Justin Valli.
Thank you.
Justin Valli and Paddy Bush, both playing the Valli, the wonderful zither of Madagascar. That was yesterday on the Radio 3 stage here at WOMAD, and I'm now in the studio van with Paddy Bush. So, Paddy, this music that you've been playing is the music of Justin's village.
It is, yeah. It's the music from Firenano on the high plateau region of Madagascar. It's south of the capital, but in an extremely difficult to get to place. The roads aren't in the best kind of condition. And,
I remember that well. I remember
of course.
Going along incredibly bad roads for what seemed like hours before we got to this extraordinarily remote and amazing village. I've never seen anything like it.
Sometimes isolation and remoteness does a very good job of preserving traditions and music.
Well, Paddy, you and Justin came in yesterday when we were broadcasting live, and you played one piece on the Valli. That was a taster of what you were going to be doing, what we've just been hearing, in fact, from your concert later on in the afternoon. And I was talking with Justin then about the importance of the ancestral spirits, the spirit houses.
A lot of the music from Justin's village is orientated around the ancestral beliefs. The spirit houses, the tranbe. Tranbe translates as big house or large palace. There's a very long tradition of music and wisdom, if you like, going back through hundreds of years in this. You know, once upon a time, the ancestral belief system was, it was universal in Madagascar. Everybody followed this. But in a lot of the ways, there are parallels with the wildlife thing. You know how the forests are kind of getting broken up into little pockets that the lemurs can't go from one bit to another because it, you know. Exactly the same thing has happened over the years with the religion, and it's broken up into smaller, isolated pockets of which people no longer realise how extensive the belief was before this started happening. I think they'll sort of die out with our generation.
And that is connected to the music, because if they die, that's the context for the music.
Yes, completely, completely.
So we're talking about a tradition that's like the lemurs, that's extremely endangered.
Extremely endangered. Both the music and the instruments are highly endangered. And the things that have made it that way are basically external influences. You know, not only the influences of modern musical instruments like the accordion. When the French came to Madagascar, they brought the accordion with them. And
although I have to say, they're amazing accordionists in Justin's village, and they play it just as if it were a Valli.
Well, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And there are fantastic guitar players in Madagascar as well, who play the music that would normally happen on the Valiha and the Marivani on the guitar, and they do an extremely good job. I don't think the future of Malagasy music is in question at all. It will always be played on the contemporary instruments of the time, but the actual traditional instruments and the music that goes with those traditional musics is a completely different question. And that's something that is extremely endangered. Not only is it the popularity of things like guitars and keyboards that have been taking over the situation, but also the proliferation of Christianity. I'm sure that the churches who are working in Madagascar are unaware of the incredible cultural destruction that they're bringing with them. And of course, much of this music goes back to non-Christian belief, and that the Malagasy have a very enthusiastic approach towards Christianity. They've embraced it wholeheartedly, which in some ways is very bad news for the ancestral religions. They're having to move more and more into secret practices in order to carry something on that really shouldn't be that secret.
So we're very lucky, in fact, then, to have someone like Justin Valli continuing and keeping alive the tradition from Fiorenan, from his village in the central plateau of Madagascar.
We really are, because I can't imagine any other way that this music would leak out from, well, we've been there, you know, from an incredibly difficult to get to kind of place. The music is so beautiful and so deep, and again is evidence of a belief system that's extremely sophisticated and compassionate.
One of your songs that I absolutely adore is a song called Veloma.
Velom simply means farewell, and it's a farewell song in the most traditional sense. When I think of Fiorenan and farewells from there, I can't help but think of some of the unique elements of the village. The village itself is built on a mountain made from quartz, and everywhere you go you find big rocks of quartz sticking out of the green grass there. Quartz has very extraordinary electrical qualities. I don't know why, but the place has strange lightning phenomena that happen there. You get little electric discharge flashes happening in the evening, and sometimes when people are walking back from the fields at night, and because there are no street lights or anything like that, they take quartz pebbles and they throw them against the rock. And when the pebbles hit the rock, they give off a little electric spark, just enough to be able to have a little flash view of the road ahead. And somehow these images combine in my head of memories of Fiorenan.
I remember the rice paddies.
The colour of the new
zebu.
Rise. Oh, and the zebu. So fantastically majestic with those amazing big horn assemblies.
And those very tall, narrow brick houses.
That almost look like a Swiss fantasy of a house, with little balconies on them as well. That young men serenade their ladies on.
So we're going to hear the farewell song from Fiorenan, the village where Justin Vallee grew up and where he learnt to play the Vallee, the wonderful zither from Madagascar. So this is Justin Vallee and Paddy Bush, recorded live on the Radio 3 stage yesterday here at WOMAD.
Oh, Thank you.
Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup. Paddy.
Music from Madagascar, performed by Paddy Bush and Justin Vallée. Lucy Duram was presenting live at WOMAD, and the producer was James Parkin. And as Lucy said, there's more live music from WOMAD at 10:15 this evening. If you'd like full information about Radio 3's WOMAD coverage, you can just go to the Radio 3 website. Well, now, on BBC Radio 3, the Sunday concert, and another chance to hear the first in the series of BBC Proms Saturday matinees, given last weekend at Cadogan Hall in London by the Academy of Ancient Music, directed from the harpsichord by Mahan Esfahani. There's just one work, Bach's monumental Art of Fugue, a late work that survives as a keyboard score, but which Bach never made clear precisely how it should be played. In the spirit of the coffee house concerts of Bach's time, Esfahani has made his own arrangement for small band. The Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Mahan Esfahani in Bach's The Art of Fugue.